listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. Big Thursday show, 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We have a football Thursday for you. It's really that simple. If you listen last year, you hear Football Thursday, sign me up. If you're a new listener, and we have many, the show is growing. Thank you for spreading the word. Thanks for the support. You're going to find out we give you trends, the trends of the week. And you're going to go, what? No way. Is that true? Yep, always. If we say it, it's true. Even if it's not true, well, tomorrow we'll say, you know, we were wrong about that one, but that's rare. But it is very rare. You're going to hear these numbers. You're going to say, wow. And who's going to give you the numbers? Well, a few from me, but also the pros who know. Steve Fezzik, two-time Super Contest champion, only guy ever to do that. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you and some winners during football. Now, you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And at the start of the NFL season, we have more drama in Oakland. According to several reports, Antonio Brown and Raiders general manager Mike Mayock got into a heated altercation on Wednesday. Brown apparently threatened to punch Mayock in the face and then punted a football and said, quote, fine me for that. So, no AB at practice. His status for game one is up in the air. And so the drama continues even after the cameras go off with Hard Knocks.
I would say, based on the Vegas reaction, the status is almost certainly out. Now, I'm not saying it is certainly out, but we know what the range of value Antonio Brown could be reasonably priced at. And to me, Fez, it's between a point and a point and a half. Now, if it's a point and a half, which I would probably lean towards, he would be amongst the most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL. In fact, no non-quarterback, in fact, I think you agree with me, is worth more than a point and a half, correct?
Correct.
Now, you've got, if I recall, 5 non-quarterbacks in that top tier being worth a point and a half.
Yes.
Rattle those off with pace and vigor.
Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, and DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receivers, and 2 running backs, Barkley and Zeke Elliott.
Okay, so you don't have Antonio Brown on that list.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's in the next tier worth 1.
Correct.
All right. Now, from what I saw, and I was busy today, so I glanced at the screen. And by the way, guys, you can go to pregame.com, click odds, or it's called Game Center, and you can get all the odds for free, live, fast as they get for free out there. Check it out. All right, Fez, what movement did you see? News came out. Market says, uh-oh, we should be fading the Raiders if we can at the current price. How much did they get faded?
Denver went from pick to Denver minus 2.5.
Okay, now I heard the 2. You're saying 2.5. So, Brad, do me a favor. Take a glance and see between, because again, and this is something we were talking about yesterday off air, and we said, you know, I'm not sure everyone gets this. There's a lot of different sports books. So if I ask you, oh, you live in Lincoln, Nebraska, huh? Okay, cool. How much is gas? You're going to say, well, down here, well, I guess they don't all have accents, do they? Is they might say in a British accent, you know, I don't do British accents. It's $3.30. Usually they're going to be quoting the price they just went to and they remember because they're like, man, I remember when it was a dollar. But there could be a place across town that's a different price. Different gas stations, different prices, different sports books, different prices, different odds, effectively. So one thing, and this is a chance for Fez to sound smart, because if I did this, We should just have the camera. You know, we tape these. We should have the camera do a close-up on Fez and then have me say, Fez could tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. And tell you this little factoid. He would be so disappointed. He lives for this. So, Fez, I'm going to let you do it. Don't mess up. The line coming off of Pick'em isn't quite what it seems, because if you did the math and you said, okay, line zero, it's up to 2.5 now. It went against the Raiders. Wow, Brown must be worth 2.5 points. Explain to us why that's not the case.
Because it's really only a 2-point line move, because the difference between pick and minus a half is almost nil, because teams so rarely tie.
And thus, there is no minus a half, effectively.
Correct.
So a line will move from pick to one, and in every other situation, it moves half-point increments. So if you think about it like ticks, how many times does it tick up, and each tick is a half a point? Pick them to one is a tick. So thus, pick to 2.5, you minus the half, because that tick from pick to one is only one tick. It's a 2-point move. Now, we probably won't talk about it again for a year on this show, but I could not deny Fez the chance to say it. Did you get joy from that?
I did.
Yes? He's like, finally, what I want to talk about. Brad, what did we figure out was the actual move?
Books are split. 2.5 is mainly offshore, and then twos are here in Vegas locally.
Okay. So it's interesting then. What we're saying is pick to 2.5 is 2.5. We take away the half because it's coming off a pick, so it's two. But really, it's not 2.5. It's kind of 2.25. So it went up 1.75.
Yes.
Right? Now, people might say, RJ, you just said, or Fezzik just said, and Fezzik's supposed to be very good. I keep hearing about him. You know, he seems good sometimes, not always.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f***ing world.
Why is he saying 1 point and the market saying 1.75? Well, first off, I think the answer is he's wrong and I'm right. I think Brown is in the first tier of 1.5. But also, and this is getting a little inside baseball, half points are not all created equal, and some of the cheapest half points, meaning the least valuable, are 1, 1.5, 2. So the friction moving through those is a little bit less than 5, 5.5, 6, which aren't key numbers either. 3 and 7 are, but they're a little bit more key. Would you agree with that, Fez?
I agree.
So, Brad, do you notice that, Brad? I could have left that where it looked like RJ dominates again, right? Instead, I said, you know, I did kind of dominate, but it wasn't quite as bad as it seemed, and I wanted to give Fez just a little bit of, you know, solace. Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Was it generous, you think?
Yeah, very generous.
He's the one, he's the only RJ Bell.
And that's why, you know, I'm about the audience. I'm not about myself, Fez.
Do you think any of this line move could be disruptions to the Raiders, distractions?
The line move. You think they're watching the ticker saying, uh-oh, we were pick 'em and now we're plus two?
No,
is that really the question?
No, the Raiders team, how they're going to react to all this. Is it going
to be the line move?
No,
or to the things
AB
that caused
drama.
The line? Oh, okay. I think it might be the biggest story or the biggest factor. And here's why. And maybe that's another reason the line's moving. But I guess that's right. An absence could be different. Like when Shazier was out for the Steelers, you can make the case the Steelers rallied around him, you know, the guy that got really hurt, the linebacker. And in this case, there could be a sense of, man, we thought this would end with the preseason and with Hard Knocks, and he's just going to keep going, isn't he? Right?
Yep.
And to me, that's kind of discouraging for the team. So that's another good point, Fez, is whatever value Brown's absence downgrades the Raiders on the field, you're taking a good player off the team, and it's assumed to be the case, right? Because there's uncertainty about that. I think the emotional effect is negative for the Raiders, just like Tunzel leaving Miami. I think in week 5, Tunzel's absence is just about on the field. In week 1, I think it's on the field that he's not there, right? That negative for Miami. And also, the fact the team's saying, wow, they're not leaving us anybody, are they? And we got to play this whole season? They'll get used to that, Miami. But, you know, it's like anything else, right? You grieve for a while, then life goes on. I think Miami, in a way, is grieving a little bit. And I think, in a way, not grieving, but the Raiders are just sick and tired of Antonio Brown. And he's yet to play a snap that matters for the Steelers. Oh, I'm sorry. He did for the Steelers, since the Steelers, for the Raiders. So, Jonas, as a sports guy, when you look at this, I mean, it's easy to say, ah, forget these guys, forget the millionaires. Is Brown particularly egregious amongst the players that seem to, you know, not really care about the fans, not really care about the game? You know, they're self-interested.
Yeah, he seems like he's nuts. I mean, just to put it plainly, he acts so erratic. Some of his behavior, whether it's throwing the furniture off the balcony, whether it's the outburst, throwing footballs, threatening to punch his GM in the face, who had every right to talk to him about why did you post a fine letter on social media, you know, going on social media to film, you know, the Steelers after they won a playoff game, like all of it. He just, it's over the top. If I were the Raiders, figure out a way to get your $29 million back and walk away. Just get out of this deal.
Now, think about it. The market is telling us, though, and let's assume when you add this all up, Fez, because the other way on the market move being so big is there is some chance he's going to play. And, I mean, unless I'm missing something, it hasn't formally been said he's out. So if this is the move at even 90% of being out, it means the move's even bigger. There's a couple of factors going in each direction. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, reasonably, Brown is one of the most valuable non-quarterbacks. He's got to be in the top 5, 6, 7, right?
Yes.
All right. So, and he would have been at the top of your second tier anyway, which are the one-point people.
Yes.
And then Jonas says, let's get rid of one of the best. I mean, is there who else? Who's the second best player on the Raiders?
Carr? Right.
Yeah, maybe Derek Carr.
And where's Carr on your quarterback list, Fez?
He's low 20s.
All right. When you say low, you mean like 22, 23, 24. Okay.
Yeah.
So, on one hand, you've got certainly a top 3 or 4 player at his position, Antonio Brown. And Jonas is saying, he's so crazy, send him packing. And our next best player relative to his position is somewhere in the 20s. Now, there's only 32 teams. So that means you don't have potentially the 22nd best center or the 20. I guess they could, and we just don't know, you know. And then you got to ask yourself, well, if they're above average, how valuable are they? Because having a quarterback who's 22 might be more valuable than having a center who's 9, right? Because how much is the difference between the average, et cetera, et cetera? I think it's tough. I think the Raiders were going for drama, and they're getting drama. You know, kind of be careful what you wish for. Yeah. I will say one last thing, and I'm saying this quite frankly, understanding I'm not sure if I like what I'm saying, all right? I'm torn, kind of like Fezzik. He's got 2 Fezziks. We'll get into that. It's kind of scary. I have just 1 RJ, but RJ doesn't always agree. If he's crazy, shouldn't we feel bad for him? Like, what type of mental illness? Like, if he attempted, and let's not say him, because I don't even want to say it to him. If some player that acted erratically in a similar fashion to Antonio Brown attempted to kill himself tonight, at that point, the whole conversation would change. Oh, my gosh, you got to get help. It's a continuum, right? It's a spectrum. I don't know how many steps anyone is. I don't think some people even know themselves how many steps they might be away from attempting that most desperate act. But that's always the sign that this is serious. This gal is so seriously ill. He's saying, I'd rather not live. Do we really know how far anyone's from that? And in a weird way, and here's why I'm torn. If all we do is say, well, Hitler, his dad didn't love him well enough, and thus came the Holocaust, obviously you can explain anything away, right? So on one hand, you want to be no nonsense and say you're responsible for your actions. It's clean. It feels old school. And unless you're young, you like the idea that the way you grew up means something, right? You don't like the idea that all that was foolish. Now, look, I grew up in the 80s. The haircuts, the shoulder pads for the Met, didn't like any of it, right? I can look back and say that's foolish, but I don't want to think everything for my young man stage is foolish. So you hold on to it. Old school. I get it. But on the other hand, the more you know, it seems like the more you realize people are products of their brain chemistry and their environment. And no one really controls their brain chemistry. And as a kid, you don't control your environment. And I have no idea what Brown went through to get here in a way. And here is one of the best wide receivers in the league. And here is a guy that Jonas, a very intelligent sports fan, says, if I were the Raiders fan, I'd rather him not even be on the team. Those two things really different. And I think as a fan, it's easy to just say, F him, I want the Raiders to win. I don't want this BS. I might not be paying for season tickets, but I watch the game, and every viewer gives you guys money. All right, maybe. I hear you. But as the commentators, as one of a dozen people on national radio in the daytime on a big network, there's like a dozen shows. This is one of them. We got to go above and beyond what the obvious stuff is. And I would make the case part of this discussion should be how ill mentally, and mentally ill sounds like you're mentally ill. It sounds almost like something people say as an attack. I don't know the right way to say it, but how ill is he? And how much sympathy should we have? And how much disdain should we have for Antonio Brown? I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's a combination of both, disdain and sympathy. When we come back, let's cheer things up with some winners. We're going to look at the two biggest games of the weekend. Doesn't matter, college or pro, two biggest, early look. And Fezzik thinks Colin Cowherd is crazy about two teams this weekend.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have a Thursday look ahead in not only the NFL, but also in college football.
Yeah, the two biggest games of the weekend. Thanks for joining us. We try to bring the fun of Vegas straight to you each weekday. You can listen to 200 Fox Sports Radio stations nationwide. Also, foxsportsradio.com, the iHeartRadio app. You can listen by podcast. Just search RJ Bell. And Sirius, right now on the Strip, 104 degrees. The neon is pumping.
So let's get it started with our Thursday look ahead here on Straight Outta Vegas. And we go to Sunday Night Football on NBC. It is the Steelers at the Patriots. New England is a 5.5-point favorite at home.
When's the Steelers been a favorite against the Patriots? I'm getting sick and tired of this as a Steeler fan. But I got to tell you, I remember there was a USA Today had like a baseball this week. I don't think they still have it. It was a print and, you know, it was a nice little like sporting news type little magazine. And it was just that week's baseball. Now, I remember they had an advertisement in there and it had Greg Maddux in his, stretch position. And it said Monet, Matisse, Maddux. And for the audience who's not art fans, and I'm not particularly, Monet, Matisse, two French painters, some of the greats, and then there was Maddux. What were they saying? This guy's an artist. This is a guy they're going to be talking about in 100 years, right? Maddux. I think they will. I know they're going to be talking about Belichick. So in a way, as a Steeler fan, I want to root for my guys. It doesn't matter if Belichick coaches a long time left. A long time for him is 5 more years. The guy is almost 70. He's not going to be coaching when he's 80. We're at the end of this. And in a way, you hate him if he's been beating you all this time. But in 100 years, they're going to be talking about Belichick. Fez, Belichick, Tomlin, who, let's be candid, looks a lot better after this Antonio Brown. I mean, you got to wonder, none of this happened in Pittsburgh. Let's give Tomlin some credit. What's your high-level take? This is the Thursday look of this game.
Yeah, I'm going to lean to the Patriots. All about a trend here, RJ. The Patriots at home, if you blindly had bet them the last 6 years, 40-16-1 against the spread.
All right, so what we're saying is Belichick over any reasonable span is one of the top coaches against the spread. What's fascinating about Belichick is if you look at the stats, which almost every other team, it's just look at the stats. What they tell you is going to tell you how they do in the long run. The Patriots do better in the long run than the stats in a way no other team does.
Much better by about 3 points per game.
Wise guys, when they kind of graduate to be wise guys, the first couple years they tend to bet against the Patriots a lot. Would you agree with that, Fez?
Absolutely.
Because that's what the numbers say. You know something? Your numbers don't account for everything. Because Belichick is thinking about things that you don't even have numbers on. He has an edge there. The other team never does. And I'm always afraid. Listen, the guy's like 60% against the spread.
And this is a team that's been on a premium, meaning when you win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl pretty much every year, you're an expensive team.
Public teams are not supposed to cover 60% of the time.
Exactly. That's the smartest thing you're going to say today, the smartest thing anyone's going to say today, but Belichick has done it.
And RJ, just to mention Bill Belichick, I know you guys are into his sort of strategy and what he does. I was watching a recap of the 2018 season. There was a point that they showed on NFL Network where at the beginning of the Super Bowl last year, he was complaining because the roof wasn't closed, and he wanted to know exactly when it was going to be closed in Atlanta, because he thought there was a difference between 10 to 15 degrees on the wind in the stadium, and that was going to affect how they began play.
So that's interesting. So they knew it was going to be closed before the game, but he figures, okay, we've done a study, and you think he didn't, you're crazy. Okay, if the temperature is here and they close the roof, in an hour it goes up 5 degrees, in 2 hours it goes up 8 degrees, and he wants to know what the temperature is going to be.
Yeah,
why? Who knows? It might be how heavy the punter should be throwing the ball. It's all considered.
And what they were trying to do is time the closing of the roof right at kickoff, and he wanted to make sure he knew exactly when it was going to happen, because the kickoff was going to be affected by whether the roof was open or closed.
Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And we were at the Super Bowl, you and I, and Fezzik. I think, Brad, you had some kind of, there was a girlfriend issue at the time, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we could say that.
She's gone now, right?
Yeah.
Good thinking. Now, what I would say, I don't know anything, but if it's keeping you from the Super Bowl, right, all expenses paid, and you grew up on a farm, I mean, yeah, probably not a good decision.
Women weaken legs.
I mean, Mickey said so. I didn't say that. But Brady Quinn, who you, if I recall, do a weekend show with, right?
Yeah.
I thought he had a brilliant point. We were just off to the side talking, and he said, and you can tell the story better, something about Belichick and holding calls and referees.
Yeah, he has.
You remember that one?
Yeah, he had a conversation with an official before the season, and he wants to know what they consider holding and what they don't consider holding. At where on the jersey can you hold? Where can you let go? What do they see as a grab and a yank? And he leaves no stone unturned. It's amazing.
And the theory is, that seems obvious. You'd want to know what the league thinks, but this is each of the referees, so then they have fouls on it, so they teach it that week. You can do this, but you can't do this. And I was actually just on with Adam Carolla. I do his show every week, his podcast, and he said, every week during football, he said, the Rams almost beat the Patriots because of this holding call. And I'm like, I told that story because it's like, that's why it seems like the Pats never get those holding calls and the other team does. It's not luck. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas.
We've got another Thursday look ahead, this time in college football, a top 10 matchup, number 6 LSU, number 9 Texas, Saturday in Austin. And right now on pregame.com, LSU a 6.5-point favorite.
And it's all about the line in this game, the big line move we've seen in this one. LSU earlier this week opened up a 3-point favorite at Texas in this one. At that point, I'm like, all right, got to go with LSU. I'm going to be leaning with the Tigers in this one. But because of a 3.5-point move, RJ, it's moved right through the power rating that I had on this game. And even though I've been saying all summer, Texas is the most overrated team in the country, right now in this big game at home at night, I would lean with Texas plus 6.5.
But not a bet. You think it's within a normal range. And I tell you, the whole debate with Texas is going to be, they got a lot of young players.
Yep.
How good are those recruits? Because in a way, if you have a senior that leaves and a sophomore takes over, usually that feels like a downgrade. I think Texas is recruiting better now than they did 3-4 years ago. So is it a downgrade? That's what we're going to see. I think that's the key to this handicap. Now, in a little bit, we're going to do the trends of the week, the eye poppers. There's a trend in this game. Let's give a little tease of the trends of the week. Give this one.
Yeah, this one is going to be Tom Herman. He's the Texas head coach in the underdog role as a head coach, 13-2 against the spread. He's won 10 of those games outright.
Wow, 13 or 15 times underdog, covers 13.
87%.
Wins 10 of them outright. Now you might say, that's just luck. Some coaches do better as underdogs. Some coaches do better as favorites. Why would a coach do better as an underdog? Oftentimes it's motivational. Think of Lou Holtz, if you're old school. He would get his team up.
Yep.
That's what Herman tends to do.
You know, every single week during the football season here on Straight Out of Vegas, it doesn't matter if you cover the NFL, it doesn't matter if you cover college football, you got a deal with Straight Out of Vegas.
It's the pros versus the world.
And I can't lie, I think Jonas said it exactly the right way. We talked about it. There's not many people that have a daytime national show on a major network. And pretty much all of them, or most of them, have a bigger brand than I do. Colin Cowherd, RJ Bell, right? So I want to take them down. I want to, in a way, you got the only way to climb up the ladder is drag someone else down. I love Colin, so I don't want to drag him down. We'll say we're helping him here. We're educating him. So Fez, you got three. In fact, Colin has three disagreements, big ones, with the season win totals. Now, what is that? Well, Vegas says this team is supposed to win X number of games. So Patriots, for example, how many games are they supposed to win?
11.
All right. You can say over, you can say under. Colin gave his projected wins for each of the teams, 32 of them, each of them. Three of them, he was way off. Amazingly, two of them play each other. And thus, what we are going to have here is what you call an undercover best bet. And with an undercover best bet, we have a situation.
Uncovered.
Like I was saying, best bets uncovered or undercover best bets. You got to love the Stones. So, Fez, let's talk about the teams first. So, just to be very simple about what we're saying, one of these teams, Colin thinks he thinks they're overrated. The other team, he thinks they're underrated. And now they're playing each other. It's like Colin should make this the game of the century. Name the two teams.
Yeah, Houston and New Orleans. Colin loves Houston, RJ. He has them as his number six team.
And if you just rank Vegas's opinion, now how would you get that? You could just look at the win total and stack them and say, well, where's Houston if you stack win total?
Number 14.
All right, so Colin says?
Houston, way better than expected.
Yes. Colin's number was?
Six.
And Vegas says?
14.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So the other team.
New Orleans Saints. Colin does not have them in his top 10. Colin has them as an average team. Vegas says New Orleans, number 5 team.
All right. So they're playing each other.
Yes.
So let's talk about that. So in theory, Colin should just love Houston.
Yes, because Houston is a 7-point underdog. Think about this, RJ. The number 6 team for Colin is playing an unranked team. Not in his top 10, catching 7 points.
We'll see, because Colin does his Blazing 5, so let's tease ahead to tomorrow. And also, we do the podcast in which I grade with the wise guys with Fez's help, those picks. I'm going to be interested. I hope he doesn't have it, just because it will be a great chance to bust some chops. I bet he will, though. As we continue, though, we've got some other disagreements. Well, actually, let's look at one more, Colin, because we said there were three he really disagreed on. What was the other one?
Colin's way down on Jacksonville. Colin only has Jacksonville winning 6 games. Vegas says Jacksonville's going to win 8.
Now, did Colin update that after Andrew Luck retired? I'm not sure.
That is updated after Andrew Luck.
Because in theory, you got to think that every team in the South benefits because they got to play the Colts twice. We've done a downgrade about 6 points. So you pick up 12 points, I guess, just by one guy retiring on your opposition. So Colin says, I don't like Jacksonville. I actually like Jacksonville.
You like Foles, right?
I think Foles is better than Bortles. I know that much. And I'm not sure what else about it that Jacksonville's changed that much. You know, I mean, there's little changes. This is a team that 18 months ago was a quarter away from going to the Super Bowl. Right? Against the Patriots.
Favored to go Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, within that game, they were favored.
Right.
Because they were winning the game. And now you got, if you say this team was in the AFC Championship, they were in a position to win. And they've upgraded their quarterback in the last 18 months. And they haven't had any major losses otherwise. Does that sound like a 7-6 win team?
It does not.
I get it. That was a lucky year in a way for the Jags. I just think they got too much talent. All right, last thing real quick here on Pros versus the World. The Associated Press, they do their college football poll. Brad, you do the Vegas poll. You got overrated and underrated, right?
I do.
Hit us.
Yeah, so overrated, let's go right back to Texas LSU, and this is going to be a stark contrast here. I think compared to the AP poll, Texas is still overrated. They're number 9 in the AP poll. I only have Texas number 16 in my power ranks, but when you compare me to Vegas, I'm actually a little bit higher on Texas than Vegas.
Mm. See, but that's the thing. You're saying higher than Vegas on Texas.
Yep.
Except you're only getting that perspective by this line against LSU, right?
That's correct.
And to me, it feels like this is more love of LSU than anything. Because, I mean, if you look at the Texas line in week one,
yep.
Did you feel like Vegas was just underranking them significantly?
No, not at all.
Yeah. So why would they all of a sudden do it now?
It's complicated because I actually had the biggest disparity in my power ratings with LSU last week, but I was higher on LSU, RJ, than the marketplace.
Yeah, so this is complicated stuff. So what we need to do when there's something this complicated, but it's important, is really spell out before the show, this is the way we're going to explain it, and I hadn't really seen, and I didn't understand that you were so different from Vegas, because really, guys, think about it. We talk about Vegas as a consensus opinion, and most of the time it is. Right? Most of the time, most pros agree. By definition, the time you can get a winning bet is when you disagree with Vegas. Brad says, hey, I disagree with Vegas on Texas. And that doesn't mean Brad's right or Vegas is right. The question is, who wins money in the long run, right? Brad does, so I trust you a little bit more, but you agree with Vegas 90-some percent of the time, right?
Absolutely, yep.
So what I would say is, tomorrow, let's carve out 5 minutes of the show, 6 to 7 Eastern, in which we really break down LSU, Texas, where the market is, where you are, because it will be a teaching moment, too, about, hey, every pro doesn't always agree with Vegas. In just 1 minute, we're going to hit you with the biggest eye-popping trends of the week.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, you know, Jonas, I wonder, I'm sure I missed this in the news, why aren't the Patriots playing on Thursday?
It's the 100th year of the NFL, so they wanted to.
Oh, so they're going old school. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's and it's plus Patriots are there every year. You know, time to change it up. I am so anxious. And on Thursday nights, when there's a Thursday night NFL game, and sometimes there's some good college games, the whole last segment, so going from 6:48 to the 7 o'clock hour, previewing those upcoming games, you know, a couple hours from now. Let's do the trends real quick. So every week, again, this is one of those like, wow, could that really be true? We talked about one of them, which was, and let's start with college here. We talked about the Texas one. Repeat that one quick.
Yeah, Tom Herman, Texas head coach. Underdog role in his career, 13-2 against the spread, 87%.
Now, we've got one that Alabama is associated with.
Yeah, so this week we have the largest point spread in college football with two Division I teams. Alabama is a 55.5-point favorite this week over New Mexico State.
Now, largest between the two
FBS
since when?
2013, 6 years.
So that means 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and into 19,
yep.
This is the biggest mismatch.
Yep.
So Alabama must be the best team in the country.
No, I think a lot of
you
people
think?
Would have Clemson.
You think?
Yes.
No, Vegas says Clemson's the better team right now.
2 points better.
Now, what do you got?
I got Alabama just slightly better. They're close.
Another example where you disagree with Vegas. It's something we probably don't make clear enough, and we should start. And tomorrow we will look at that Texas LSU line a little deeper. Quickly, Fez, we got a couple in the NFL. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. First one in the NFL, big trend.
Bet against the Super Bowl loser if you blindly did this.
All right, so think about it. The loser, the theory is they almost got there, and now they're, like, depressed.
Yes, and if you did that, you're 16-3-1 the last 20 years. Week one, we're going to bet against the Rams if we follow this trend. Bet on Carolina +2.
16-3-1 against the spread. That feels like it means something. If you look across the whole season, the Super Bowl loser tends to do poorly also. Or they underperform.
Yes.
Second NFL.
Second trend, we're going to play against the Saints in the first 2 weeks of the season. You're 1-9 against the spread. And get this, RJ, that would land you on Houston. That's Collins' undercover best bet for week one.
Okay, that's interesting. So Collin is down on Saints.
Yes.
He's up on Houston. So Collins should like Houston. We're saying the Saints do very poorly the first 2 weeks of the year. If you just look at the last 5 years, that'd be 10 games, 2 weeks a year. They only won one. And remember, Saints been winning during those years.
Yeah.
They only covered one.
Yes.
We got one more?
Yeah, we got one more. Blindly betting divisional dogs, week one.
All right, so let's think about this. Underdog, you're getting points. Divisional means they're in your division. So what's the theory? They know each other very well. In week one, how do those teams do? The underdogs.
17-4-1 against the spread.
And you might think, that's a good number, but it's not a big sample size. If you go back to 2000, the whole century, 20 seasons, if you count this as the 20th, and it's over, 57% over that whole time with hundreds of games, right? Yep. So, I mean, how many games?
103 games.
103. So, doesn't mean you play this one blind, but if they're in division and playing each other, be very careful laying the lumber in week one. History says you don't want to do it. When we come back, we told you, Thursday Night Football, the entire last segment, we're going to be previewing it.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. The NFL is back. The game, first game of the season coming up later on tonight, 8:20 Eastern time in Chicago on NBC, sees the Bears a 3-point favorite hosting the Green Bay Packers.
It's here, baby. It's here celebrating 100 years, yeah? Is that what they're saying? 100 years?
Yeah, yep. 100 years.
So it would have been the same year as the Black Sox scandal, 1919. Oh, I guess it would have been 20. Interesting. They said baseball might be fading. I wonder what the machinations were to start the league. It's like baseball's fading. Let's go. And maybe they were right. All right, Fez, we got some time to go through this game. What is the number one factor to you in this game?
Home field advantage, RJ. Chicago's being given 3 points for home field. These two teams, Vegas says, hey, they're about equal. They're supposed to both win 9 games. But home field, I don't feel, is warranted for 3. The Packers have always played great when they play in Chicago. How good have the Packers played? They're 19-7 against the spread in their games, Green Bay at Chicago.
Well, that's interesting. So, Jonas, as a novice here, you know, as a sports fan, that's an interesting point Fez made. I'm surprised he made it, which is if you have a home team favored by 3, that means they're even teams, right? Because home field's 3, right?
Right. Yeah. And I just was curious from a Vegas standpoint, how do they come up with this line? They haven't seen any of these quarterbacks in the preseason outside of a couple of run plays by Trubisky. They don't know who any of these teams are. So how do they come up with the number 3? Is it just home field and that's all they've got?
Well, you make an important point, but I think your conclusion might be a smidge off. The important point is this. Early in the year, first game especially, you don't have any data for the team. You have data from last year, and there's people who will say, okay, this left tackle now has moved over here. He's so good, whatever degree he's good. Now he's aged a year, so the advanced math guys have a tool to say, well, a lineman that goes from 28 to 29 drops 3%. So they'll make those adjustments, but you don't know how it's the parts are going to play together. Is this left tackle going to be better on this team because of the scheme or whatever? What we know is as the season progresses, more and more your handicapping should be the data. Now, if you're a data guy, you got to like the NBA and baseball more because you got 162 games, 82 games. You only got 16 regular season games in the NFL. So usually, even at the end of the year, it's a combination between what you think is true and what the data says. By the way, guys, I'm giving a special best bet here. I gave it yesterday. I'm going to repeat it. I like under first half, under 23.5 points. Why? Trubisky 0 passes in the preseason. Rodgers 0 passes. I think they're going to be rusty and conservative early, under 23.5. I don't like it. I love it.
Join us tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, for the first look ahead at week one in the NFL right here on Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!